this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 44 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. The super special free agency version of Three in the Box is being recorded.
Damn, it feels good to be back.
Wednesday, July 2nd, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about comings, goings, draft day boringness. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Hey, hey, hey.
And before we get into things, let's just remind everyone, follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box.
Yeah.
We still post, even in the offseason.
We try to.
We try to when things finish come up. We see people in the public wearing a Norwegian Mafia shirt. We're
beautiful sight.
We are obligated to comment on that.
They come out of the woodwork in the summer.
Although the Finnish Wild Mafia was not very supportive of the Norwegian Mafia. They were like, okay, it's gone.
You know,
they're like, are we getting Michael Delzato? Because that's, I think, the only current Norwegian in the league. So, yeah. So
all I know is it feels good to be behind the mic again.
Oh, yeah, totally.
We miss you guys.
It's been a while.
Oh, way to go, Stained.
What'd you stain?
Hey, Aaron stained it.
Oh, boy.
Your pants?
No, the whole podcast. Oh. Anyways,
so this is what we do during the off season. We make bad, like 15-year dated jokes about contemporary music.
Yeah, I got a current joke though.
Oh boy, no.
Okay, we'll save it for the end.
It is octopi based, and let's just leave it at that. Okay. So with that, we've got a lot of news in this abbreviated kind of sort of thing.
Yeah, we'll see how abbreviated it actually gets.
So let's kick right into the news. So, obviously, big news. Thomas Vanek signing with the Wild, 3 years, $19.5 million total. I mean,
cue up the Ozzy.
Mom, I'm coming home.
I mean, he was offered more years and more money by the Islanders, 7 years by the Islanders, and $50 million by the Islanders. Is anyone surprised that he still went to the Wild?
I'm not. You know, he's had his house here for years.
Right.
You know, he played for the Gophers. He's a Minnesota boy. I'm not surprised. This is not the first time a Minnesota player has come home to play for the Wild.
This is true. But at the same point, he said that, you know, coming home wasn't really the dictator. I don't know if you guys caught his press conference, but he's like, you know, look at this team. This team wants to win.
It's moving in the right direction.
It's very obvious that ownership, management, they've got the eye on the prize.
That really helps. And in having a hometown boy come in to help be one of the heroes on it, it is definitely not going to hurt the reputation of the team.
No. And well, he looks at someone like Gar Snow at the Islanders and goes, what is Gar Snow doing? He's trading away people for peanuts, you know. Why would he go back there, you know?
Right. No, at least exactly. Get some Cracker Jacks out of the deal.
Well, you know, and Vanek bounced around quite a bit this season.
Yeah.
You know, he went from Buffalo to New York to Montreal. He didn't really produce a ton in the postseason for Montreal.
No.
But
I'm going to argue that small sample size, given X amount of games for any player, even great players, you're going to have streaks, especially, you know, being traded, moving around.
I don't think you need to argue anything. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're all in the same on this one that, you know, you get a player that moves around that much, he's not going to be used to the system. He's not going to have the chemistry like he would when he's producing, you know, 70, 80 points a year, when you're getting bones thrown that much. You can't get that.
Tell that to Gabrick.
So why?
Well, while Gabrick, obviously, apparently he's good if he's in L.A., but Minnesota.
So why not stick around then if somebody's offering you a 7-year deal? How better to get used to a system?
It wouldn't be sticking around. It would be bouncing back to New York because he finished off in Montreal.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's true. But, you know, you also have to look at it as, you know, what Vanek is, what, 31, something like that?
Yeah.
A 7-year deal puts him at 38. He's basically done. His career is done.
No, it'd be a lifelong contract for
right.
him. Or
whereas at 3 years, it's not actually not a death sentence for him. Because at 34, you know, or whatever it is right around there, he can still probably sign another 7-year contract if he so chose.
He was with Detroit.
Well.
Detroit's a whole nother mess right now.
Did they re-sign Yzerman?
That
was a joke.
Kenny almost tried to answer that one.
Nicely played, Jive. Nicely played.
Right.
Oh, Lord. So are we all excited about this? I mean,
absolutely. You know what? I think putting him, we're going to have a scorer in the top two lines.
Yeah.
Like a prominent scorer. Not that we're kind of lacking in that department a little bit.
We don't have electric scorers, say like a Stamkos, but I think we have guys that are workman scorers, if that makes sense. I mean, they score, but it's not like, holy crap, they're scoring without even, not Datsukian scorers.
I think Vanek is definitely going to add into this to maybe jumpstart some of these other players that should be scoring a lot more.
I mean, essentially, we've replaced Heatley with Vanek. How could we
cap wise? Absolutely.
How could we not be a better team?
I think we could accept that. Yes.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. You know, and I love having the hometown boys on the team because I mean, you know, if they make the playoffs, if they make the cup, you know, we got a lot of big ifs. But
right. If
these guys bring home a cup with a lot of Minnesota or Wisconsin-born players, you know how much more pride that has in this state. It's an absolute metric shit ton.
Yeah, I mean, and he even though he's not he wasn't born in Minnesota.
He played for the Gophers.
He's like Holla. He's a Minnesotan
implant.
Implant. You know, he's basically he's a converted Minnesotan. You know, I mean, he's married to a Minnesotan. He lives in Minnesota.
He
went to school in Minnesota.
He won a national championship with the Gophers.
Right.
And that's one of the things he said. He's like, you know what? I won a national championship with a Minnesota team. I would love to win a cup with a Minnesota team. And I think that's part of the reason he took the smaller deal, the shorter deal, was the fact that he's willing to make the sacrifice of a shorter contract to be able to win another championship from a Minnesota team, that... You know, a state that absolutely appreciates their hockey team.
Well, and that's another thing that, you know, obviously a player needs to realize is that if you want to be surrounded by greatness, you're probably going to have to make some sacrifices, basically.
And I'm actually really surprised that more professional athletes don't do that.
Right.
You know.
Because at what point is it like?
I mean, what's another couple million?
Right,
really?
Does it really matter?
LeBron. LeBron.
Well, there is that. I mean, it's actually a really good, you know, comparison because, you know, we've got guys that will go wherever for the money, but, you know, if you take a little bit less and then all of a sudden you're
right in
a team that's in the thick of it.
You know
how is that a bad situation?
Right.
You know,
and do the bonuses and stuff not pay off in the end, anyways?
They do.
If you're making $2 million a year,
yeah.
What's really the difference between $2 and $4 million? Is that an extra boat?
I mean,
we all don't know that, but yeah. You know, is that the difference?
I don't know how it is to live that lifestyle,
right.
Unfortunately.
But I mean, you know, if you end your career $5 million less. So instead of making $100 million, you made $95 million.
Right?
Are you going to look back and go,
"I can't. Now I can't retire."
Gentlemen,
I can't retire. I should have held out for that $5 million more.
I'm going to have to work overtime this season.
I don't want to. I don't want to wish any grief on either of you, but I really hope you have that grief one of these days to decide whether you do with $15 million or $17
million. You just want to sit by my pool, don't you?
Absolutely.
And drink all my beer.
Why not?
Why not? You would be more than welcome.
So I think the real
if I made $15 or $17 million a year.
The real big question is,
but what about $16 million or $13 million? Am I still invited?
Right.
No. The real question is, what shape would your pool be?
Liver.
It'd be shaped like a liver.
It'd be shaped like a liver.
What shape is liver?
Blob-like, right. Somewhat left-sided, I think. Yep.
Mine's shaped like
Which end is the deep end?
Mine's shaped like a 12-ounce beer bottle right now. Oh, boy.
Well, with that said...
We have not lost a spring in our step.
No, we haven't.
Not at all. Aside from Vanek joining us, the Wild also signed a handful of other players... that will likely probably be playing down in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to let everybody know, though, that they personally picked this section out for me just so I could stumble over my words.
Hey, Jive, his nickname is The Wrecker.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is. It is the Wrecker.
I like that, actually.
He's 6'3", 235-pound enforcer.
Your prototype enforcer right there.
No, right. His nickname is the Wrecker.
Yep. Aside from the Wrecker, we also picked up winger Brett Sutter, son of the Kings coach.
Yeah. The one who looks like one of the Muppets Statler and Waldorf, I think. Right.
Yeah, the two
old crotchety guys in the balcony.
Curmudgeons in the balcony, absolutely.
And, yeah, he was the captain of the Charlotte Checkers, the HL team.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know if we'll see him up here in Minnesota at all, but you never know. There's also Stu Bickle. He comes home. Or at least in theory, I guess, because he'll probably be down in Iowa as well. But
adds
a little more depth for defense.
That's the wrong Bickle, yeah. Right?
Right.
We don't want that. We want Brian Bickle. We don't want Stu Bickle.
We don't want Brian either, though. Really, I don't like that.
No, he's kind of a douche too. Yeah. So, not that Stu is a douche, but
right.
Brian Bickle is. He's the AJ Pierzynski of the Blackhawks.
Amen to that. Is AJ still on the White Sox?
No, he's the Red Sox.
Yeah, Red Sox.
No.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Actually, last we saw, the Cubs are kind of slaughtering them tonight.
Good. As long as AJ's losing, I'm okay with that.
So, he's...
Sorry.
We're good. So he's coming in as a defenseman, which also... leads me to think about maybe. Oh, we're already talking about that later, so I'll hang on to that. Sorry about that. Oh, totally derailed that. And lastly, I guess we'll just talk about the undrafted free agent Guillaume Gelina. He signed just an entry level contract here with the Wild.
Frog.
Yeah. More French for these fellas.
Hopefully
here.
He's French and not Belgium.
Yet another Guillaume in the Wild organization.
Yep.
We haven't had enough Guillaumes.
And he also,
I don't think the NHL's had enough Guillaumes.
Probably not.
They're filtering them through the Wild.
Yeah.
Maybe they just call him Guy or something for short.
But Guillaume.
Or Guy.
Guy Gelina.
Hey, Guy.
He did have one good thing with him. Is that he won the Emile Bouchard Award for best defenseman in the QMJHL?
Right.
You know, so
is that like the Pierre-Marc Bouchard Glass Jaw Award?
No, he's got the glass head.
Oh man, that was bad, man. But actually, if you look at the Bouchard Award winners. There's some actually really good defensemen that have come out of there.
I don't think Bouchard. I think Bouchard kind of drew in his the one fight that he had,
but he wasn't a defenseman though. So
nah, this is true.
So, but if you look at the Bouchard Award winners, it's I would say maybe a third of them have turned into really good defensemen in the NHL. The other two-thirds were, like, flameouts. So it's not exactly a
promising stat.
It's not a home run, you know.
Got it, yeah.
But it's not a bad depth guy, you know. If he turns out to be awesome, hey.
Yeah.
You know, we could use an offense. I mean, he had, like, 97 points in 62 games for a defenseman. I mean, that's bonkers right there.
So out of this list of all these, you know, lower-level guys, obviously, do any of those excite you guys?
I'm interested in seeing what Sutter's son can do.
Really?
I am. You know, I
it's in his blood.
I think Sutter's hard-nosed enough. He's coming from a hockey family. I would be curious to see what he ends up doing.
Oh, okay. I can understand that. I mean, I want to see what the record does a little bit, to be honest. Because, I mean, we talk about how...
You said wee-wee like four times.
Frog. We talk about how poorly our skill guys are really defended. You know, you look at how much Halla or Granlund was just run over during the playoffs by physical players. Maybe we need some more physical guys out there, you know?
You know, and I see Suter doing that just because of what Daryl Suter's done. I mean, he's pretty hard-nosed. It's going to be a hard-nosed, hard-edged hockey family that, exactly, they're going to be checking and they're going to be hitting. They're going to be playing physical. And I'm interested to see what this kid brings up.
Where's Denny Savard's kid? Did he have any kids? Sign them up.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That and Galinas, however you want to pronounce it.
Guillermo?
Gelinas.
We haven't had the NHL tell us exactly how to pronounce it, so we're just rolling dice here.
Emil.
He could turn out to be a real stud for as far as, you know, a kid getting drafted, you know, out of, not getting, get an undrafted kid just getting picked up. You know, it could be a great deal, really. You know?
Yeah. So, well, I guess that, you know, my point on those guys, there's nothing that's really a super standout for me.
No.
So I'm, yeah, not jumping for joy.
I mean, I look at them and I really think, you know, Stu Bickle is kind of like the,
right.
The not so awesome. And honestly, the record is probably going to stick his most of the time in the AHL.
Yep.
I mean, we've got a ton of talent. Do we really want to sacrifice that for just a brawler?
Right.
I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but I think the record had, you know, something like he had like 26 games in the NHL and like 105 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's great. But I don't know if the Wild really need just a straight fighter. I mean, just because you look at the teams out there right now, and everyone's going away. No one has – how many teams that are, you know, cup contenders have just a brawler?
Yeah, it's definitely been a slight change in how the game is played, you know.
Yeah.
There's definitely a little bit more – finesse and puck movement going on, a little less emphasis on the,
well,
beat him into the ground.
Yeah, on the physical part. Though there is still a very physical aspect to the game.
Sure.
So
you're going to need that, but, I mean, speaking of having some physical guys, one of the guys that have left is Clayton Stoner. Along with, you know, Matt Molson and Coley McCormick. They both head back to Buffalo. Stoner, well, apparently he sold his soul to the devil and got an amazing deal with Anaheim. So, you know, I guess my first question on this, is there any surprise that Molson and McCormick head back to Buffalo? And is this a true definition of a rental player?
Well, I think it's obvious they're both rental players. I'm actually really surprised that both of them went back to Buffalo, though, because
Buffalo's in such a rebuilding era right now.
Who would want to sign with Buffalo? I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Buffalo is a total crap hole. As a city, I would never want to live there. I think it's actually probably the worst city in the U.S.
You only have to be there, what, 41 days out of the year?
Yeah, oh,
maybe,
but you're,
maybe a little more with the
your wife and kids,
training
though.
And
yeah, wait until your wife and kids are raped by the
who says
roaming,
that, who says
roaming
that they
bands
have to,
of
who says that they have to
Buffalo
live there?
Gangs.
You know,
who says
honestly,
they have to live there?
Detroit's probably worse, and Detroit's been having a hard time picking up free agents
this year,
too.
Detroit's better than Buffalo. Have you ever been to Buffalo? Buffalo is a crap hole. Seriously.
Tell us how you really feel.
The only worst city is Worcester, Mass. And Worcester, Mass is another crap hole. If you want to envision, infrastructure collapsing, embodied, that is Worcester, Mass for you. Buffalo is concrete depression. Right there.
All right.
But you have brought up the point that
is that the true definition of a rental player?
They're in rebuilding mode. You said this about Buffalo.
That's
fine. Yes, they were obviously rental players. But Molson going back to Buffalo, here he was what? Third line guy?
He was never going to sign back here,
you know?
He was never going to. McCormick though doesn't make sense. I mean,
we could have got for a lot less and kept him on a third or fourth line string.
And see, that's the difference between McCormick and Vanek. McCormick knows, I need that extra $500,000. Vanek is like, I don't need the extra $2 million. I'm already a millionaire. I don't care. You know, so McCormick is a role guy. He realizes that his lifespan in the NHL is probably limited.
Yeah.
Molson, though, is kind of weird. I would have figured he would have gone somewhere else.
Molson's
you know?
A good player. I like Molson. I like what he did with the Wild in the playoffs.
Well, and that's the thing is maybe Molson feels that going to Buffalo, he's going to play on the second line, the first line.
He will
you know?
Be a top line yeah, player I mean, in Buffalo. I mean, maybe not a top line, but at least a second line player.
And there's nothing like you know buying into a year or two long contract to boost your value if you're how are you ever going to shine on a third line somewhere? You know?
Well, and I think the crazy thing, and this is just kind of actually blows my mind, Vanek takes number 26. Who had 26 before Vanek?
Molson.
And then Molson, when he was in Buffalo, who had 26 before he did? Vanek. So they've like swapped 26s like twice now, 2 years in a row. I think that's just awesome.
My thing about this is Vanek, and he had said it, he's looking for a team that's going to be a competitor and he wants to get a ring.
Oh yeah.
I think Molson is at the point right now going, I'm looking for retirement.
I want to feed my kids.
I need the money.
So you're saying he's spree-welling it?
Maybe.
Yes. He's making his own rims now.
All right. So another player that we had that I had brought up, Stoner. He signed with Anaheim for his cap hit. It's $3.25 million a year for 4 years. I mean, he's making bank as a...
Good on him.
I no, definitely good on him. But, I mean, as a... I wouldn't put him as a top D. I mean, I'd put him as a mediocre D, but a big body that can push people around.
I mean, he's a defensive D, and you look at the Wild now, they're having trouble trying to find another... defensive or
somebody that
physical
can,
D.
Somebody that can push people out of the net.
So maybe it's just a matter of the market of for a physical D is
look at our top defenseman now.
All right, so okay, first
our heaviest guy is what, like a $190 wet?
Hey, Spurgeon will take you down.
Yes, he will.
Spurgeon will go after guys twice his size. So you can't really put a number on that.
No,
but
you can't.
Now, do you think
he's not going to grind him down though? Either
he won't. Do you no. Do you think Stoner is a good fit for Anaheim? I mean, as a big physical guy,
I'm going to agree with Chuck Fletcher. He didn't call out Anaheim as making dumb moves, but
Anaheim was top in the West.
But he made a very vague assertion that he didn't understand why some teams were giving guys third and fourth line guys the kind of money that they were getting. He thought it was bonkers, and I agree. Stoner's, 2 years ago, Stoner was bad. This year, I think Stoner improved greatly, actually. I mean,
I like Stoner. I wish we could have kept him, but, I mean, for the money that Anaheim gave him, I don't agree with it, and I don't think the Wild would have put up with
Stoner,
it either.
Stoner scored one.
Well, obviously, Fletcher didn't.
Stoner scored one goal this year. Even as a defensive guy, You wanted to score a little bit more than that.
True, and
you know
he was solid defensively, but
yeah,
far from being a standout.
No, I mean, how many times do we see like Spurgeon go and basically act as goalie,
right,
or Brodin even? You know, yeah, where they basically were the, you know, Kemper's
the last
way,
line of defense.
Kemper's way out of the net, or yeah, Harding, or whoever it was at the time.
Didn't Granlin as a center step up
even
and play
Granlin
goalie?
Didn't.
Granny, yep.
We never saw that with Stoner, though.
Nope.
No, but Stoner was also willing to drop the mitts and fight for his teammates, too.
Yeah, but
then we go back to, again, how, you know, do we need the enforcers?
This goes back to them looking at Steve Ott.
You know, you getting face punchers. Any team can get face punchers. Do we need more face punchers? I don't know.
Doug Glass is, he's a free agent, right?
Reichless is an enforcer. I mean, you know,
Doug the Wrecker Glatt.
Right.
Oh, good God. I don't know. I guess my biggest question is, I mean, what would you guys have signed Stoner for? If you were the GM, what would you have given for Stoner?
I probably would have. He's probably due at least $2 million a year. I can deal with that. Give him 2 or 3 years. I can see all that. But he's like a $2 million, maybe $3 million, 2 years max. 4 at 4 is just, that's crazy talk. I mean, it really is. I mean, I hope him and Anaheim the best, but not really.
No.
Because they're in the West, and I don't really want them to do well. But, you know, he's a $2 million, $3 million for 2 years kind of guy. He's a Keith Ballard.
Absolutely.
At best.
And, you know, honestly, you were saying numbers that I was thinking in. $2 million a year, two-year contract, maybe a three-year contract.
Yeah.
But no more than $2 million a year. 3.25 a year. No bueno.
And honestly, really, going back to Anaheim, does a team like Anaheim need to offer a guy that kind of money?
If they're looking for grit and some size on the D side, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, other than Fowler, who on Anaheim's defensive corps do you think is that actually physical?
That's fine, but is it that hard for them to draw a player in there that they need to go?
No, you know, but
so above and beyond.
I think really it's a matter of the free agent pool for physical D-men was depressed.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what the Wild is lacking right now, and what they need to try to fill.
And they're, I mean, how else are they going to fill it? I mean, it's going to have to come from trade, right?
You know what?
I mean, how else? You look at the free agents, you know. God forbid if we have Stu Bickle being our gritty defenseman that has to come up. If Stu Bickle's playing significant time with us, things have gone terribly wrong.
Is this being recorded?
Yes.
Because he might be eating his words next year. You never know.
Possible.
We got the wrong Bickle.
We got the wrong pick.
You know, here's the thing, though. I mean, right now, Fletcher is looking at getting some guys that can put the puck in the net and be a very positive influence on that, which is why he picked up Vanek.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that in my mind.
But we're in a real pickle for our defensive situation.
So, well, basically, you got, you know, you've got Ryan Suter right now playing a quarter of the game for defense. He's playing 30 minutes at one side.
He'll keep that up for another year or two.
Absolutely. So now you need to find three other guys or four other guys or six other guys that can fill in the other 75% of that defensive role. Now, Suter is, I don't see him as being a very physical, like pushing guys out of the net type of player. He's more of a finesse player.
And he's straight D. I mean, he has a little bit of offensive, but he's mostly pure defenseman. There's very few plays. That's why he retracts. He goes back.
He doesn't have to play that physical role
no,
because
he
he's
doesn't.
Stopping the puck before it gets to that type of situation. Now, what needs to happen is the Wild need to find some sort of player like Stoner that has some size, so when the puck does get into that situation, and when they've got, you know, a power play type situation, he can push people out of the goalie's way.
Well, I mean, since we're talking about defensemen, you know, the Wild also made some qualifying offers on a bunch of restricted free agents, including Blum. You know, but aside from Blum, we got Kemper, we got Nino, we got Zucker and Fontaine. All those were given qualifying offers. Karen, Foucault, and Kuma basically were all released.
I kind of a little upset about Kuma. I liked him.
I mean, I think all the moves were really kind of expected. I mean, even really the departure of Kuma, who was a former first rounder, I think in 2008. Does anyone? Do you guys? Kenny, it sounds like you don't really agree with Kuma getting tossed. But
I agree with it, but I'm disappointed. And I think I believe I read somewhere that Fletcher had said he wanted Kuma to actually get the experience he deserves, and with the depth that the Wild have right now, he was not going to get that chance. So from that standpoint, I mean, you know, good for him. Hopefully he gets a, you know, second or third line role, you know, and build his way up to a first line. But
and he's been battling injuries. He's had injury after injury after injury. So it's a certain point, you know, Blum is really no different. We got him through Nashville.
Absolutely.
Another first rounder. But, you know, at a certain point, your team has to go, you know, we got to do right for you and say, hey, maybe you can spread your wings somewhere else.
What's the point of player development when you got talent on your hands that you're benching all the time,
right,
or, you know, sending up to the press box? You know, give them the opportunity to actually spread their wings and show who they are. Hopefully they turn into a pretty good player. I mean,
wow.
And it sucks to see him not play, though.
This is turning into a really, really happy, feel-good show. It's business, boys. It doesn't matter. Basically, Kuma is offering nothing to the table to the team right now.
No, I mean, it really isn't.
And if he's wanting a, you know, a bigger contract than what we're gonna get down there. Well, I'm just putting it as it is, man. It's business.
Well, I mean, since we're talking about these guys,
Chuck Fletcher can go ahead and put a pretty picture on it. That's exactly what an exec's gonna do.
But what about Zucker? I mean, look at, he's another guy where, yeah, he's had little flashes with the Wild, but, you know, he's not a goal per, a point per game guy with the Wild even. He's had like 4 points in 16 games or something like that. He hasn't been that good.
But let's take a look at ages. Who's still developing?
Oh, that's sure. But, I mean, maybe it's a point with like someone like Zucker where we maybe ought to try to cut bait with him beforehand, try to get something in return before we Kuma him and just let him go for free.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I guess I still look at
Ben Roth.
I still see more potential growth in Zucker is what I do see.
But look at Benoit Pouliot. We let him go, and now he just signed what, a 4-year, $5 million a year, $20 million deal with, was it Columbus or something like that? I mean, again, I don't remember where it was.
That was a trade that we got for
Latondres.
And Latondres actually kind of lit up with the Wild a little bit, and Pouliot lit up with Montreal.
Right, but, you know, Pouliot just signed a huge deal.
It's something
with
where
the Oilers. It was the Oilers.
Well, the Oilers will be willing to sign big deals for quite a while.
But the thing is that do we want to, like, sit on these guys when they have no value and trade them at their lowest point, or try to trade them when they actually still have some value?
I'm gonna argue this point is some of these guys might have value, but in a different type of system and in a different type of scenario. I think Pouliot was one of them. You know, trading him to Montreal for Latondres, he lit up as soon as we let him go. And maybe he got along better.
I think lit up is figurative. Yeah. I mean, really.
But at the time, it did make sense for both teams, basically.
Both teams got better players out of the deal. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, sometimes it's not just what's the skill level of the player, but what, you know, what system do they fit in better with?
I mean, let's put it this way. Pouliot had 18 points in 65 games with the Wild, right? With Montreal, it's been 54 and 118, but New York with his most recent stop, he's basically a point every other game.
Wow.
He sucks.
He's not great, nice. But, you know, it's better than it was with the Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, and we got Lottendress. Where's Lottendress now? He went to the Senators and out of the league.
Is he in the KHL now?
You're right.
Maybe.
Are you drafting him this year, Kenny?
It's not Shatan, so.
Nope. I will only draft Satan.
He doesn't like the tenderness, see?
Wow, we've gotten full circle with the Guillaumes, though, tonight.
We have.
Surprisingly.
It's all Guillaume all night.
And that wasn't even intentional.
Yeah, but going back to my point, Lottendress has not played since he was with Ottawa that one season. So
fair enough. You know, I don't know. It's a tough thing. Some of the players just need the right system for them to break out in before they actually feel comfortable. You know, they could get underneath a bad coach that they're not used to that playing style, and they're not going to succeed even though they're a phenomenal hockey player. They were drafted high.
Well, speaking of drafts.
So, yeah, with drafts.
We had the NHL draft, right? You know,
there was a draft?
Yeah.
There was a draft.
It was in Philadelphia where they booed Bettman for like 15 minutes, I think.
Awesome.
It was nonstop.
So the Wild, their number one draft pick, 18th overall, was Alex Tuch.
Tuch?
An 18-year-old. That spent the last two seasons with the U.S. National Team Development Program from Ann Arbor. 6'3.5. Not 6'3, not 6'4, 6'3.5.
Is that in the morning or at night?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But apparently it's a solid 200. It's a solid 218 pounds, though.
Okay.
So his weight doesn't fluctuate. His height might.
All right.
Actually, your height does fluctuate as you sleep. You extend.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you wake up, you're actually taller than when you went to sleep.
So I should take my measurements when I wake up.
That's right.
You'll feel That's like, what she said. You'll
feel- Well, oh, man. I always knew I was longer in the morning.
Wow.
Oh, so yeah, native of Syracuse, so a U.S. born player.
That's a penalty. You got to go sit in the box.
Yeah, so that was their number one. From Syracuse, New York.
We also got a Finn, right?
We got a Finn. We got a goalie Finn. The goaltender. Jesus. Yuka, let me know if I'm saying this wrong. Kaapo Kakkonen.
You're slaughtering it. You know.
I just murdered.
Where are we?
That.
Cabo San Lucas? Is that what you said?
We got him in the fourth round, the 109th overall.
I don't know how a Mexican's gonna do in this league.
They got ice down there. They can roll ice.
Listen to
if the NHL wants it, they'll have ice down there.
Ooh,
listen to this. 17
year
old.
Now you're talking. Bring it to Mexico.
17-year-old, 0.912 save percentage in 38 games with the Espoo Blues in Finland's junior league. He's 6'1", 209 pounds for a goalie. That's a big freaking goalie, man.
Hey, as long as you're taking up the net, that's what counts, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's taking up 2/3 of the net just by being there.
Doesn't hurt. Put on pads and you take up about 3/4 of it.
And he plays butterfly style.
Sweet.
So, yeah, we got a couple of those guys. Got a defenseman, Pontus Schalin. Center Chase Ling, 167th overall. So,
are we anyone surprised that GM Chuck Fletcher did not wheel and deal on draft day?
Apparently, he got a lot of phone calls for people wanting to deal. But the big thing that I had seen was he was waiting on what was going to happen with Alex Tuch. So after that, you know, he was just kind of all over the board, pick up decent guys and go with it.
I really want our third sixth round selection, Reed Duke, to make it, because I want to chant Dookie, Dookie, Dookie. Sorry.
We also did get another Louis Belpadillo, who was the U.S. under 18 captain. We did pick him up,
right?
80th overall. So you know, I don't think
Belpadillo.
Yeah, I don't think there was
Belpadillo. I guess maybe
Padilla.
I don't think there was any Minnesotans first or round pick.
No, there wasn't.
What? So, Minnesotans don't play hockey anymore?
No, they do. Apparently not as good as Czech and Italians.
Anyway, so do we want to wrap it up to talking about some other big movements in the league, or particularly in the Central Division?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Division of Death?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, Iggy, the arch nemesis of the Wild, who was initially rumored to be maybe going to the Wild.
The Wild were looking at him at the same time as Vanek.
Yep, yep.
Which, how awesome would that have been had they snagged both of them?
Nope.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened, but that would have been ridiculously awesome. Iggy took the smart money, took 3 years for Colorado, which is probably good because Paul Stastny ends up leaving Colorado, going to St. Louis, making St. Louis stronger. So Colorado gets a little stronger, loses a little. St. Louis gets a little stronger, and then they lose Ryan Miller to Vancouver. And so we've got a lot of flux in these powerhouses. Dallas is making big moves.
Dallas is huge.
Oh, Dallas, holy cow. Oh. You can't say enough about Dallas. I mean, Steve Ott's on the block right now.
Right.
They're good up the middle.
Which the Wild have actually been rumored to be looking at, according to Pierre LeBrun. But Jason Spezza, Tyler Seguin, Cody Eakin, their centers are absolutely rock stars right now. You cannot argue with that lineup. I mean, if you play against Dallas and you have a winning faceoff percentage, good for you.
What about Iginla going to Colorado? I mean,
Iginla going to Colorado is going to, you know, I know Meat Beast was not exactly a fan of the Wild looking at him. I totally disagree. If we can get Iginla, he is a Wild killer. He absolutely slaughters the Wild every time he plays against them. We got lucky we didn't have him against Calgary last. Well, who was he playing with last year? He was playing with
Boston.
Boston, so we didn't have to worry about him in our division,
right?
Which Calgary was also out of our division,
but
that year.
So what you're saying though is that we'd be killing two birds with one stone.
Absolutely,
but we're gonna be killed.
He would have been like Jim Thome, right. A continual Minnesota killer who comes here. And then everyone embraces him.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, Iginla would have been a god here.
I agree. I've watched Iginla over the years, you know, and I've...
He's not a guy you can really hate on. He does things right, I think, in the general sense.
He does. I haven't liked the fact that, you know, like you say, he's been a Wild killer. And, you know, I don't like when he stands out like that because he's beating up on my home team. He's beating up on my homeboys.
But he's not a Forsberg where... Right. Forsberg is...
He's not a Bertuzzi either.
Well, I'm not saying Bertuzzi level. I'm saying like Forsberg or Sedin, where they're vilified to a certain degree.
Yeah,
Iginla right. is just... I think in general, Minnesota fans go, Iginla...
He's just a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He's a damn good player.
He just murders.
We wish we had him because he's so awesome.
He just kills us.
He seems like he's Minnesotan.
No, he kills the Wild.
He could be Bufflin's older brother.
He could be.
You know, and good for Colorado on picking him up.
So, okay, is Colorado better getting him and then losing Stasny at the same time, though?
I don't...
Or is that an even swap? Or less? Because Stasny is way younger, obviously, than Iginla.
Yeah,
I don't know if I agree
Stasny
with that.
Would give you way more years.
I don't know if I'm going to say that they're better off with Iginla. Iginla's going to come with some more veteran-type skills and, you know, hopefully bring it on to the younger players. Stasny, though, had the chemistry with the players there. Who knows how Iginla's going to jive with them? No offense, jive. Or no pun intended, jive.
But then we go to St. Louis. I mean,
so they lose, his hometown.
They lose. They get Stasny, but they lose Ryan Miller.
Miller went to Vancouver.
Right. So they got what? Elliott now? And that's it?
Yeah, but it's not like Elliott's a bad goalie, and it's not like Miller. It's not like Miller really produced in the playoffs either.
Well, I think Miller was overrated anyway.
Overrated.
But I don't know that St. Louis is really any better off. Dallas may have improved, but they gave up some prospects, you know, pulling someone like Spezza. So.
Yeah, but if they're trying to buy a cup, they did it the right way.
Yeah. I think that St. Louis is adding a lot of power that way.
Right.
And in the end, you know, I mean, it's a, you know, a dime a dozen back there in the net if you're going to choose personally, in my
mind. Look at the Wild. The Wild had how many goalies that played pretty damn well.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, you just got to...
Yeah, how many goalies?
Yeah.
And really, it's, you know, whoever decides to step up and come to play and who gets the hot hand, really, as far as who plays in goal.
So
do we all agree then that the Central is now the division of death?
I think it was last year.
Is it not stepped it up, though?
Minus Winnipeg.
It's gone up another level, yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, here's the thing. Minus Winnipeg, minus Nashville.
Those guys, oh, man. It's got to suck to be a Nashville or Winnipeg fan. I mean,
they're going to get absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
And here's Puck Daddy wrote a very nice article on comparing Detroit to Atlantic City. Basically saying Atlantic City was the spot to go gamble and have casinos. And now that you got all the other casinos opening around, nobody really wants to go to Atlantic City because there's the newer places around.
We've got an Indian casino down the road. We can go to that. Why the hell are we going to go hang out with some Jersey assholes?
Exactly. You
know? Hockey fans are special.
You know, and that's like, a very like valid point. So the thing is, with this year, it seems like, and from reading, the GMs had actually time with some of these free agents to talk with them. And the free agent market wasn't so much how much are you going to pay me because everybody's on the same salary cap. It's where do I want to go? You had guys going to places where, hey, the GM was my coach back when I was in, you know, juniors, or I have connections to him this way. I have connections this way. Vanek, I'm going back to Minnesota. I'm taking a less of a deal, less years, less pay, but I'm going back to my hometown or my secondary home, however you want to put it.
Where I live.
And this is swaying a lot of guys, whereas previously, you know, Detroit was the powerhouse. Detroit still is a powerhouse. Look at how many years in a row they've made the playoffs.
The Wild have really made themselves, and Chuck Fletcher, I think, in a bigger part.
A marketable team.
The team is now a destination team.
Absolutely.
You want a chance for a cup? Come here. You know?
You've got one of the best fan bases around.
No credits going out to Yo?
Yo?
Well, I mean, I think Yo deserves some. But, I mean, a lot of it has to do also with cap space. Because, you know, if you're a player and you can go and cap is not an issue, do you go to Blackhawks or the Wild if you want to win a cup? You probably go to the Blackhawks.
No, they probably worn out their welcome
for
the cup.
But the Blackhawks don't have enough room in their cap.
Nope.
And so the Wild have that flexibility where, you know, the Vanek-like guys are going to go, maybe I'll go there. They can give me money. I have a chance to actually win.
You know, though, Vanek had the opportunity to sign a $50 million 7-year deal.
With the Islanders.
With the Islanders, which he's probably not going to win a cup with.
No. Unless you think Clutterbuck's... If Clutterbuck wins a cup before Koivu does, the world has gone topsy-turvy.
Gavrik did it.
Point taken.
Although, you know, Gavrik was a rental player. He's another one. Or what did he sign for multiple years with?
Yeah, he's re-signed, yeah, with L.A.
So. I mean, honestly, L.A. was smart re-signing him with what he did in the playoffs. I'm not going to disagree with this.
Yeah, I don't think he had anything to do with their success.
You know, it's nice to see Minnesota being a destination city.
Oh, totally.
Or a destination state, finally. Because nobody wanted to come here, ever. Even when we had championship baseball teams, we had Favre that came here for the Vikings with football.
Hey, why would you want to play hockey in sub-zero weather when you can go to where it's 80 and sunny?
Because you can play hockey in sub-zero weather. You can't play hockey outdoors when it's 80 and sunny.
You're not playing outdoors anyway, so who cares?
Wow. You know what, Bettman? Suck it.
Hockey fans are special.
So I think with that, I think we've about used up our time. So I'm just going to wrap this mid-season.
I think Kenny made us run over.
I'm going to wrap up this midsummer's.
Can I run over Batman?
No.
My God.
I will gladly take a homicide charge.
Where's my Led Zeppelin rambling sample here?
It's a good show.
So with that, my name is Aaron. When I'm not live tweeting Wild Games or live tweeting U.S. soccer.
We had a couple in there.
We compared the U.S. Team USA to a Brodziak, so I feel good about that.
And Heatley?
We may have thrown a Heatley reference in there, too.
I think a couple of guys fell over.
Heatley's playing soccer for U.S.?
He fell over.
Okay.
It's better than Forsberg for Team Sweden, right?
He flopped.
But when we're not doing that, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at AaronGMP. And we also do a band thing. We're Pinrot. And you can find us at pinrot.com. Jive.
I'm Jive. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Or you'll also catch me hanging out with these guys. And that's only when I'm not chained to my desk during the day for my day gig. Yeah.
And this is Kenny. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. It's good to actually say some words while middle of summer is happening.
All right. And with that, we'll see you in September, probably, for our preseason show. Yeah, maybe.
We still got some trade stuff happening.
Yeah. Maybe if anything else happens that's big, we might jump in and make a impromptu show, but
that's what she said.
But I think this might be the end until September. So everyone who's listening, thank you. Good night and have a good time.